Let us arrive. Arrive in this moment. Arrive at this body. And my invitation to you today is to really befriend your environment, just connecting to the air around you, allowing the air to hold you. The air is actually holding you right now, but I want you to notice that. And just noticing how befriending the air and noticing the air changes your relationship with yourself. How you sit, how you show up, how you breathe, the air around you, seeing the air as a supportive friend. And not only does it hold your body and your environment, creates a space, feeds the space, but also goes through you and feeds you from within. And then allow yourself to notice the ground beneath you, supporting you and holding you in a different way. Thank you, Earth. Hello, Earth. Amazing how many times a day I walk on you without noticing you, taking it for granted. Without you, movement will not be an experience for me. In this physical way. And then noticing this moment, noticing how this moment is yours. This is my moment right now. Isn't that fascinating? Everybody has their moment, and this is my moment. Exclusively mine. Befriending time and showing up present, fully present. This presence is mine. This presence I notice. And then gently wondering what else is mine that is supporting me that I'm not noticing in this moment. Just looking for things that are supporting you in this moment, but you are not noticing them. This happiness is mine. This smile is mine. This health is mine. This body is mine. Oh, my body. Hello. Hi, my body. What else is there to support me that I'm not noticing? This awareness is mine. This smile is mine. This choice is mine. This curiosity is mine. Oh, this compassion is mine. Oops, let's see. Where do I need compassion to be applied in this moment? Maybe it's for myself, my body. Maybe it's for a friend, a family member. Maybe the compassion could be for someone that I don't even know. I have extra compassion. Who needs it? Hello, world. Would you like to take some compassion for free? I've got plenty of it right now. Compassion for share. Just imagine you're standing at the corner of the world as people pass by, and you just give away as much compassion as they need. Because in that state of compassion itself, we are unlimited. The more we give, the more we have. In fact, that's one of the ways to connect and access compassion for ourselves through giving it to others. So, compassion. Curiosity. This is such a fun game, sharing that which we have, the inner wealth, donating it to the world. So now let's just, since we are in the field of imagination already, let's continue on our own. Leave your compassion on the table with the sign that says, take as much as you need. Can you imagine that moment when we can do that? I have unlimited amount. You know how when they put a sign on things for free, you can take it? We're doing that with compassion. Leaving it on a table in the corner of the world and allowing whoever needs it, including those that we dislove and dislike. Take it, maybe you too. Connect to your compassion and maybe we'll have a better world. And we continue walking on the fields of imagination on our own, wondering playfully, happily, if it's possible for you. Calling on curiosity, we go through so many fields, one more fascinating than the next. I wonder where we are. I wonder where I am. We have entered a completely new dimension and world. This is nothing like the world we know on Earth. Here, everybody's compassion is on the table. Here, they are all connected to the air around them, to the ground beneath them, to the sky above them. What's going on in this dimension? What kind of a world is this? We wonder as we walk through it with deep curiosity. It feels right. The vibration and the frequency that is being exchanged between these beings are of the highest order. But they look like ordinary people, nothing fancy, nothing elaborate, but everything soft and harmonious. Oh, what a world. We're going through the streets, we're going through the lanes, we're going through the homes. There are some buildings that look like shops, and you go in, we go in, I go in. Oh, you see something that you really, really want, and you touch it, and you say, how much is this? The wonderful being in charge of that store comes towards you with puzzled face. What do you mean? You say, how much do I need to pay to make this mine? This is a beautiful piece of art. The being smiles and says, you must have come from the third dimension. And we say, yes. The being says, it is yours here. Instead of currency and money, we just go with passion. The person who wants it the most gets it. Like, wow, what a new concept. I want it and I get it. Yes, the wonderful being says. Here the currency is the currency of attention and passion. You've been looking at it for a long time. That means you want it. So please allow me to wrap it for you. Puzzled and shocked, we ask ourselves, what's going on in this realm of existence? I saved all that money for nothing? By then, the beautifully wrapped box arrives. Here you are, the being says, all yours. Please spread the joy you receive from this to anyone and everyone around you. You come out of the store shocked. What realm of existence is this? As you walk through the streets and see beautiful art and colors and shapes and homes that you've never seen, they seem to have been able to create and construct homes floating in the air. Different shapes and amazing colors. They hop and they get into these places, but there are no walls. How could that be? There are floors, but the walls have been removed, it looks like. You keep walking, wondering, with deeper, even deeper curiosity than what you came with. By now you feel a bit of hunger. You're tired. You look for a place for food and rest. You ask a being next to you, "Hello, sir. Can you direct me to a restaurant?" He smiles and says, "You must be from third dimension visiting us. Allow me to take you there." And he walks with you, and together you enter an amazing space, nothing like you have seen or experienced before. You're walking on something like a cloud. You enter, and you feel immediately relaxed, at home, safe, held, welcome. Ooh, what is this place? Oh, this is a place that we feed ourselves. But where is the food, you ask? Food? He laughs, the man. Food. You just wait and you'll see how you get fed. A group of greeters arrive. They welcome you and they start moving with you. Something similar to the dance on Earth. And you start moving and hopping and flying and laughing. And there is an amazing frequency of sound playing in the background. You've never heard a sound like this. What is this music playing? You ask the group dancing with you, and they say, "Oh, this is the music of union. Have you never heard that before?" You say, "No, not this beautiful." And you keep on moving and hopping and flowing and dancing and flying. You are so weightless, so happy, so fed. "Oh, where is my hunger?" you ask. "Hunger?" They repeat with their puzzled look. "Hunger does not exist here. We are fed constantly. We are fed through love, through air, through connection, through movement, through oneness. But if you are hungry, we can prepare some food for you. We have some third dimensional food here in our fridge." You check with your body and you realize you're no longer hungry. "Oh, this is interesting. Where did my hunger go?" But to just feed your curiosity, you say, "Yes, I would like some food." They say, "Sure. What would you like to have?" And you say, "What do you have?" And they say, "Anything you want." "Anything?" you inquire. "Anything," they answer. Wow, what is this realm we have entered? So you put your order in, and without a delay, your desired and ordered food arrives. You start eating. Oh, you've never had anything this delicious. Where did this come from? Your friend who took you there says, "We actually got it from Earth, but we cooked it with our own energy of love. So the deliciousness that you're experiencing is the frequency of love that we have added to your food. Otherwise, it's exactly the same thing as your food in third dimension." Ah, you smack your lips and you say, "I've never, ever had anything close to this in where I come from. Wow." So I'm going to leave you in this space that I just described and join your silence for a little bit, allowing you to use your own imagination to further explore this amazing dimension that we just seems like discovered in the field of imagination. Happy imagining. As you further explore this dimension, you understand that you are visiting a much higher dimension of existence. There is physicality, but the energetic bond between the beings there is much stronger than their physical bond. Why now you are so curious that you ask the very person that took you to this so-called restaurant and say, where is this place and how did I arrive here? And he answers, this is the fifth dimension. We were completely separated from your dimension, but now we have opened our doors to you. And there's been many exchanges between our residence and yours. You are so filled with the energy and the high frequency that is present there that you enthusiastically ask, how can I make our dimension more like yours? The man smiles and puts his hand in his pocket and brings out some seeds and hands them to you. Here, he says, here are some seeds for you. Your job is to go back to the third dimension and plant these seeds. The seeds of connection, the seeds of compassion, the seeds of presence, curiosity, the seeds of open-heartedness, the seed of love. You can do that in small doses, just like the seeds. You don't need to do anything large or big. You don't need to change the world. Just plant and sow one seed at a time, small, very small as the seed, but regularly and consistently. If you forget, that's okay. Forgive yourself. But if you remember, do it to anyone that you know or you don't know. Do it for anything that it's yours or if it's not. Do it at any time. When you have the time and when you feel you don't. Your job is to be the gardener who plants seeds. That's all. Don't worry about harvesting and reaping. Your job is planting and sowing. That's all you need to do. And before you know it, your world will be just like ours. In fact, it will become one with our world. You feel quite happy, but you still have a bit of a question. And you say, may I ask one more question before I leave? And he says, absolutely. And you say, so if you don't have to protect yourself, if you don't have to work the way we do to earn money and run your household, if your currency is passion and attention, so don't you get bored? The man laughs. Actually, he laughs so much that you get uncomfortable. And you ask, what is so funny? He says, you third dimensional residents always entertain us. Have you ever considered creation? We create, my dear third dimensional friend. We create. And when you create, you never, ever get bored. Boredom comes from production. But creation, it's never boring. And he says that and disappears into the cloud-like space that you are both standing on. Charged, curious, enthusiastic, you walk back into this dimension and into your body, feeling your toes, moving your fingers, noticing your left leg, noticing your right hand, Connecting to your breath and your breathing, and arriving back in the space and time we call here and now. Let us open our eyes when it feels right. Hello, hello. Okay, I'm drunk with my other dimensional talk. Somebody else needs to talk. Unmute and speak.
I was going to try to write this down, but I'm just going to, I'll just share. Yeah, I felt like we were in a place of abundance where third dimensional, desire to accumulate was, really out of place. And it really just, illustrated for me just how much what nexting goes on in my life, how much desire there is for things to be different, and how that energy really dictates the flow of my daily life if I'm not mindful of it, I'm not aware of it. What else came up? Yeah, I think that's the that was the major thing for me. It's just feeling myself in this place where all the beings there were just content and what was happening was enough. And how I need to work. I need to practice a little bit more of that in my daily life. Also, what also came up for me is connection with these other beings, and something that I heard in a podcast recently about loneliness is a good way to bring more connection in daily life is just to take a moment to say good morning to a stranger or start a small conversation with a stranger. And I do this at work all day because I work in retail. But I've been doing it in elevators. I've been doing it I don't know, standing in line with people. Not necessarily starting a conversation, but just taking a moment to look them in the eye and just say, good morning. Or yesterday I told someone happy birthday. I heard their coworkers telling them happy birthday. So a little later I was like, oh, is it your birthday? Well, happy birthday. And it's pretty magical how just taking, seizing these little opportunities to connect with another being in a small way has actually made me feel a little less lonely lately. So I also felt that way in the practice today too. So
wow.
Yeah, that's what's coming up for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's amazing what happens in the world of imagination. Let's see who's going to go next. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Good Sunday morning. Can you hear me well?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So the compassion part was amazing, the seed of compassion, all of that. But because I was working on my self-compassion the whole week this week, that gave me the opportunity to not only pass the compassion to other people, but put it on myself and give myself compassion. So it worked very well with my practice of this week. that I am doing self-compassion. And whatever compassion you said, it was like I'm giving to others, but I'm keeping some to myself too. And it felt very good. I felt it. And hopefully, with more practices, I can actually become more self-compassionate. And it was very good. Thank you.
Anything else you noticed when you were there? Anything unusual?
Well, when I go on fifth dimension, I always said that I don't walk. I am like in a not jumping, but higher from ground. That's when I get to fifth dimension. As soon as I get there, I'm not walking anymore. I don't have grounds under my feet. And it felt very good. The joy, the passing of joy, and going, seeing other people. I could see a lot of people. And that's the joy I get usually when we get together with younger kids. Exactly, that's how I feel because they share their compassion, they share their joy, they share, and that's how we interact. Exactly in the bazaar, you said, in the marketplace, it was exactly how we interact with the younger kids when we get together. So it tasted very nice, sweet.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else wants to share? I know, Leila, you came later, but we had gone to the world of imagination from third dimension. We went to the fifth dimension. We wanted to buy something, and then the person said, "You can just have it. Whoever wants it can have it." We went and ordered. Who everything was there, and so that was, and then we asked questions and brought some seeds with ourselves. So that was the subject of imagining. I know you missed part of it, so I'm just saying so that you know what we're talking about. All right, who else wants to share? Who was here and wants to share? Go ahead, Carlota.
I appreciated the details, especially when the person from the shop was wrapping up. It made it so beautiful, and I felt like, when you are in like some holiday and all the family sits around to see this magical film and it hits your heart and the film finish and you are like so connected to love and that things are going well. And I was enjoying the meditation in this way, like this beautiful, like the never ending story. I don't know, like this beautiful tale. And I thought that could be another book. And taking it into my personal experience, it was making me, after the meditation, I had this realization that I've been working a lot with like the unseen world like these last years, and now I'm focusing into something very material, but that it's bringing a lot of joy, and I can see how I'm reconciling, kind of like when there is a magician or like a witch that is this in disguise in this world and pretending to be human but having special powers. Like I feel like doing this very material project based in a very like grounded and physical appearance, there is an in disguise fifth dimension intention and it feels very joyful. And I can see how to go to the fifth dimension, sometimes we don't need to go to the abstract in this third dimension. That sometimes, in fact, connecting to our senses and the joy that we have here, it's also like a direct portal to this fifth dimension.
Yes, that's true. And being an artist, I think you like the details, as you said, the box and the bow and the color probably. And that
Yes.
is true. We need to use our third dimensional senses because that is our portal. That's a very good point you're bringing up. That because these are the senses that we experience things with, that this is my familiar world. So it's all of a sudden going somewhere that nothing is familiar might be too much. But when we transition, like the food we're eating, or the box that it's beautiful we're seeing, or the sound we're hearing, these are good things to provoke and enlighten and lighten and enliven our senses. So through our senses, the same way our senses can take us further down to the third dimension, because I want them more, they can actually take us to the higher dimension. These are really good vessels, I think that's a right word, vessels for both going deeper down and further up. So use them to enjoy the third dimensional wonderfulness and also go to other realms of existence, because that's a great tool.
It made me think, if I can add for a second, that when you are attached to the results of your senses, they bring you down. And when you are open in awe to your senses, they bring you up.
Exactly. When you're flowing and floating with them, as opposed to grabbing them. And that's how you know how far deep you're in third dimension and far up you are in fifth dimension. Because in third dimension, I want it. Like it's like this. It doesn't feel like, oh, I want it. When I think about it, I feel, even though I don't have the experience yet, it opens my heart. But when we go deep into Chris talked about abundance. So when I don't believe in abundance, that means I'm really deep in the third dimension. I feel pain, actually. You say something that I want, I don't know, whatever, a car or piece of something that I want. As soon as you say it, sorrow becomes my experience. But in the fifth dimension, it doesn't matter, I don't have it. I can imagine it, actually, happiness and smile. So it's a smile or a sorrow. So they're different experiences. And you know how light your frequency is by the experience you have when you think about that which you would like to experience. If it's taking you down, which is fine. I mean, no problem. I just need to notice that I'm deep into my third dimensionality right now. Because as soon as you mentioned, I don't know, a trip that I want to go on, I felt, I can't go, or I don't have the time or the money. It sort of brought me down instead of adding to me and my frequency. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Totally. And I'm thinking that it's a privilege to go to this fifth dimension, but it's a achievable democratic privilege. It's funny because anyone is what you said. Like if you get the happiness or the openness of this somebody having an amazing car, although you don't have it, you're like feeding in their good experience for yourself. And that's free. And if you're not, then you're maybe more like heavy. I was gonna say miserable, but it's a bad word, but maybe heavy. So it's a very democratic privilege.
In fact, great word you're using. Democratization is what we're going toward. I want you to just notice, because it becomes normal for us and we forget. There was a time that all these technology that we have was only available to the governments or to very, very wealthy people. And now, as you can see, anybody can create videos, anybody can do this, anybody can have it. But anybody is actually not true, but many people. I think that that's true, because we still have countries that, people can't afford it. But it's really good to understand that that's exactly the direction we're going towards. Many things that we think is exclusive to the rich and the famous is going to be available to the children. So the question is, and that's basically the world of AI, partly, but other things that come with technology. So the question is, if those things that I want no longer will be giving me the forward energy, what will replace it? It's exactly the question. This is so interesting for me, at least. So what would the rich people, who anything they want, and I've worked with them, anything they want, They have a trust, they have money. Like, there's nothing that they would just get up and say, oh, I want that, and they can't have it. What will happen if that happens to most of us? That physically, materially, those things that we want, we can have with little effort. What will happen is that meaning and happiness and inner world will become far more important if we go to the right direction. Because what will happen, what has happened so far, is that they went to the other direction. I have everything, and you see what happens. I try, like, usually it's like sexual. The first thing that happens when they have a lot of money or fame, they can have anything. The story of most famous musicians, they get into drugs, orgies, sex in a very, very unsatisfying way. I don't mean love making, I mean sex, and they're two different things. And they go to that extreme, and the further they go, the less satisfied they are. Okay. However, if we do it right with the right consciousness, when these things are no longer of importance to us and they are available to us, we can go towards deeper meaning and deeper connection and deeper consciousness. That's the fifth dimensional living. Otherwise, having abundance, physical abundance, without the abundance mentality of higher consciousness, we will just get into deeper things. I will drive my car like crazy on streets to show you that my car is louder than yours, and you will do this, and I will do that, and I top that, and you top that. It just will go to self-destruction further and further. So that's why these days, these times require the awakening of our higher consciousness as much as possible. That's why those little seeds that we plant every day, no matter how small it is, even if it is turning around and exchanging a smile with another being, simple as that. Don't have the time, don't have the opportunity, but I turn and our eyes meet, as Chris said. And then I just offer them my smile. And that, as small as it is, it's a beautiful seed. That person will move through their day differently because of that little smile that I exchanged with them. Long thing to say. Sorry, it just came to me when you said that. Thank you, Carlota. Let's see. Who else?
Question,
Go ahead.
Mitraj, this what you just explained has always been the same thing. I mean, maybe more people are now aware of it, but if you were a person that didn't care as much about the physical world, you would work on your higher consciousness. And if you were more materialistic and, as Carlotta said, heavy, you would not be able to get to your higher consciousness. So, what is the difference between now and before? I understand the tools, the technology is more available now, but it's always the same. If the technology was available less, it was less for everyone. And those with higher, who seeked higher consciousness could seek, and those who wanted to stay in their dimension more could stay, would stay more. So, what is the difference between then and now? Thank you.
Thank you for that question. So first of all, I wouldn't generalize it like that because it sounds like to be enlightened and conscious, you need to be almost like separated from the material world or not care about it. The question is not whether you have it or not. In fact, there are many people who have access to a lot of material wealth, but also are aware of consciousness. So it's not as clear as that. Otherwise, only poor people will have consciousness and rich people will be. And that's not true. What is true is how you see your relationship with material wealth, not how much you have. Do you know, like if you see it as toys and as like fun things, that's fine. if you see it as the reason for your existence, then that's when you get heavy and thick with your consciousness. So it's the relationship with material world, not the amount that you have. This is very important for us to know, because then we feel bad. If I'm like, if I have something, I feel like, oh God, I must be bad because I have this nice home and I have this much in my account. And then we will have aversion. Aversion is not good no matter to what. Aversion to material world. So we want to make sure that the relationship is very soft, very de-densified, and okay with the material world. But we don't want the material possessions and owning become our mandate in life. That's when we lose it. That's first thing I wanted to say. The second part of the question is, what is the difference? The difference is that the material possessions that once belonged to the minority is going to be more accessible to more and more people. So the question is, when I am standing at the fork that I think I can have more disease, remember we studied that. Do I go for that, or do I say, you know, I've got a nice home, I'm mobile, I can do this, and I'm fed. I want to now ponder other things. Now I want to go to the unseen world. The seen world is fine. You know, when is enough enough for me? You know, and when am I suffering from more and more disease? Because on the third dimensional world, there is no end. There is no saturation and satisfaction. The more I have, in fact, the more it's like, and that's when we know something is unhealthy. That is the definition of addiction. That I've smoked this and I had eight drinks, but I want more. There is, I don't understand where the end is and when enoughness is. So when we do that with the full material world, then most of us will be lost. That's the difference, because now the minority are really lost into the world of materialism. But then the clear decision needs to be made that I am going to choose my citizenship. If I'm the citizen of third world and the third dimension, then I'm going to go full in. I'm just going to go for more and more. No problem, by the way, because some of us need to do that in order to understand that that doesn't give us the thing we're looking for. Those of us that understand that is probably because we've experienced before. So it's not like, oh, I'm above you. It's just I've gone there. It's like you say, Mitra, let's go and live in Paris. I say, well, actually, I live there, so I got that out of my system. You go and enjoy it. So what the difference is that it's going to be more available to more people, and you can go deeper into both worlds, because there were the time, I mean, you look at the numbers, like we said somebody was a millionaire, and now at least in Los Angeles, million doesn't get you anywhere. We're talking billionaires, right? And then we're going to talk trillionaires. So there is more available. Now, then the big wedding was like, you know, a really nice area, this, and now big wedding we see is like whatever we see it is, Mr. Bezos is getting married. So it's just that, the extent of it, and how many people are going to do that. And the issue is, when more people go deeper into the material hunger world, it's going to be far more dominant. And that's why we need to be planting seeds, because even when I'm not there, the tree will be growing. The smile that I shared, the compassion that I really, really offered to someone with nothing, expecting nothing back, that's still living in the universe. So our job becomes more important than before. Go ahead, Kristen.
I had just a clarifying question on that and then kind of a different share. But so just to make sure I'm clear. So to if I find myself going into that like material world and finding myself too attached to that material reason for existence, the key is to kind of just be planting those seeds of compassion and going deeper into deeper meaning. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, I'm saying on your way to work, when you really think about your salary and how much you can buy and what do you want, which is all fine because we're physical beings, can you not forget the connection? Can you not forget the unity? Can you not forget the compassion? Because usually what happens when we are deeply attached to the material world, we forget on our way. So you say, Mitra, can you say, shh, I'm busy. I've got things to do. It's like, don't bother my material world. I forget to turn around and look at the other person. I forget that somebody just dropped something and they're really devastated by it. I can just go and help them. I just saw somebody fall. I actually did that when I parked my car and I was going on Friday to teach a whole day training, like a really long day. And I went towards the building and I thought, oh God, I can not do anything. So I went back and helped the person who had fallen. And I gathered this stuff and I said, you know, I fall all the time. And you don't know how happy that made her because you feel embarrassed for some reason. I don't know why. Humanly, when we fall, it's symbolic, I think. They just like, she felt so embarrassed. She said, yeah, I think. I said, it doesn't matter. We all fall. I fall all the time. She said, really? I said, yeah. And then I c collected things and gave it to her. And I said, I'm really sorry. I have to go, but do you need anything? She said, no, I just go and buy some water. And I happened to have water in my car that I had just parked. I said, oh, I have water. So I just grabbed my bottle, gave it to her. All of these exchanges that I'm telling you probably took 1, 1.5 minutes. But my material world was saying, just go, you're late, doesn't matter, somebody else will help her, to hell with her, she should have watched where she was going. Like, you know, it's just like 1 minute, and I did like 8 hours of training completely in my world, and I got paid to do that. But right before, I connected compassion for free. That fed my day. The smile that she gave me fed my day as I was working, and I was working hard. I mean, I'm in my 60s. I was on my feet with a lot of people, you know, whole day on stage, question this, you know, management. Even lunch hour was like mindful eating. I was doing guided meditation. But, you know, just before I went there, I connected. That's what I'm suggesting. Don't do this at the price of that. That's all I'm saying. Otherwise, yeah, you have young people, young children, you want to build a home, you want to buy a better car, no problem. Just don't do it with that, ugh, sadness, madness. Like, you know, do it with pleasure and don't forget connection. That's all.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Which brings me to the meditation. I was struggling, I think, getting into the fifth dimension, and staying in the third dimension. But I was trying to use some of those tools to figure out how could I bring some of that compassion to what I was angry about in the third dimension to be less angry. And I didn't figure it out, but I tried. There's an audit at work going on, like a really deep audit into our team. And it brings up everyone's kind of insecurities, but they're asking everyone to be very, very honest in this share with like what's going on so they can help figure out basically like the dysfunction of the team and like provide some recommendations that could be helpful. And my manager is very averse to conflict, and he said he wasn't going to share anything in writing because he didn't want to be quoted. And I find that very frustrating because then I just feel like he's not participating. But then there were going to be interviews. And so I advocated for a couple of people on our smaller team that's part of this team to be included. And then he just kind of shut that down, which makes it like even more like that he or I won't possibly be able to kind of share more of our truth. And so I've been really frustrated about that and really angry about that. And I've been trying to find, and I recognize that when I'm in that situation, I'm not very clear on how to move to the next steps, or to bring any creative problem solving. So I was trying to find some compassion, and I was unable to, but I tried.
What do you do? I've never asked.
I'm working in a marketing communications role, but at the University of Minnesota in the College of Science and Engineering. But I'm on the advancement team. It's like the fundraising team, but this audit is in the whole like marketing communications. So it goes like through like 12 different departments and then like this core team. And this core team, ever since I've been there, I was asked to kind of help bring in like help guide the vision, and it was in my job description, and I was co-hired to do that. And then this person that I dotted line report into told me that she was threatened by that. And people tell me that, say that she wished she had gone for my job and that she used to do the things I'm doing. And she just gets very angry about kind of my role. So it's just been a very frustrating position.
So I would, without knowing more, and this probably is not the place to do know more, I would just ask you a few questions. I'll invite you to ask yourself a few questions. One would be, have I done my best to resolve, especially this feedback issue, resolve it and participate more? And I don't know, ask yourself creatively. And two, I would ask, what am I not understanding, either about people or about the system? Three, what do I need to let go of in order to have centeredness, balance, and my creativity back? I would just go with these three questions and let it be deeper than, like, of course I have done, like, just contemplate on that on your own. Have I done my best? Because sometimes we haven't. There is the, oh, I can do this and I can speak to that and I can give my feedback this way or that way. Just ask that question. And then trying to understand that everybody else is also trying to survive instead of this process of making them it and us human. This process, it's extremely brutal inside of us more than it is to them. Because when I start seeing people as it, not thinking about their perspective, there's a story. I know Carlotto will, if I say this story, says, you should do it on your Instagram. The story is that a man is being chased by a lion. And he runs and runs and runs in the jungle. And then he gets to a place that he can't run anymore. So he goes on his knees and starts praying. He stops and he says, God, you know, I have children. You know, I'm the only breadwinner of my family. You know, all these people depend on me. Please, please, please help me to survive and feed my family. As he stops talking, he hears another being talking. So he listens, and he hears the lion on his knees saying, God, you know that I'm the breadwinner of my family and I have 18 mouths to feed. Please, please help me to catch this man and feed my family. It's just that simple. The person who's doing this and doing that and being intimidated or being provoked by you or competing with you, they also are trying to do the same thing to survive like us. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm not saying go and offer all your information to them and make yourself more vulnerable. I am just saying that don't make them an it, because its do not live amongst us. There is no it. Even it, even this pen, even this cup has consciousness. So instead of eating human beings, we need to humanize all the its. And then it becomes easier. That's all. It doesn't solve your problem, I have to tell you. But it makes it so much easier when I see this person, let's say my enemy, as a human being that also is trying to do something. They're probably, in my view, they're doing it in the wrong way. I wouldn't do it that way. But they also are human beings, misguided, maybe, misled, maybe, but a being with consciousness anyways. So that might just be helpful to understand these people better, these like people that we think like they're these monsters that are doing these things. I mean, your boss or that woman that you were saying who used to do their job, they also are petrified about losing their livelihood and their salaries that they get and the positions that they have. Again, I'm not saying that what they're doing is right. I just want you to understand them so that you stand at your humanhood when you look at them, so that you don't get like, ugh, I'm disgusted by them. That might be helpful. So three questions. Have I done my best? What do I need to understand? What can I or need to let go in order to bring back my creativity and my own peace at workplace? What can I, not them? Yeah. You just changed I, them to I, and it becomes easier and doable because I can do things that I want to do. They probably will never do the things I wish they did because, first of all, they don't know what it is. Secondly, they're not interested in my way. I can't do what I want to do. You think they're going to do what I want them to do? I mean, it's just like the human. They all entertain me. All right.
Thank you.
That was helpful.
That was very helpful.
Thank you. Leila. We lost your sound and your okay now. Just the microphone. We can't hear you because you're muted. The microphone, the bottom to the left, usually. You can't see it. Oh yeah,
good. Sorry about that. My phone was the other side around. I couldn't find the unmute. And can you unmute me for me, please?
I can't.
So I put it the other side. So hi everyone. So happy to be here.
Hi.
So it when you talk about it reminds me of my recent story of a guy who came here for a pesticide for a wasp to our place, and he mentioned we start about it ended up like conversation about the war. He was Israeli and I'm Persian, and he starts saying we are the word we, how strong that we as Israeli, we are helping you. Didn't you want this for the gov? And as soon as he starts saying we, the one you mentioned, it, the whole heaviness of that came, is a choice that I wanted to say we. And I said, please don't say we, they make that decision. Me and you, we're friends. We don't have a problem with each other, do we? This is not we. And so he wanted to kind of say the things that we all carry with that we and them, and we're not only aware of it, and so we are trying to justify the things that they making decision for us as a Persian, for us as an Israeli, and then we carry that thing with energy with that. And I said, stop saying we. This is not we. And we never gonna fight with each other like that if we want to. And then the conversation started, and I don't want to take the whole class, but I'm gonna explain the last part of the conversation, which we end up saying. He says he believed that the philosophy of human is that we are bad in a creature. That's why we need somebody like leaders to be there to fight, and the war is necessary. Otherwise, we would not be here. We are all be dead, because that the philosophy is we are as a human being, we're bad. And I said, oh, that's where we think we need somebody like them to manage us. But we are in the philosophy, we are very good human, we are good. And when I tried to mention about look at the kid in the playground, they fight for a second and they're gonna play 2 seconds after. And he said, no, they bully each other at the school. Don't you see that? And I said, that's 6 years old up. It's already programmed by me and you and the parents saying, this is a bad person, this is Persian, this is this. So this is the environment program that child. So we are transferring that hatred to our kids, and we're saying they're bullying each other. Where'd they get that from? Whenever that before five, they were not like that. You're black, you're white. So it's us, and we are very good inside, and we are part of God. And he said, no, Bible said, Bible. And then he started referring to Bible, that Bible said human are like a sin because of what we are here. And I said, didn't and Bible said we are part of God? And he said, yes. And then, okay, so we are deciding to be far from that God, that origin that we are. The hatred is not in the God. So how can you accept this side that the human is bad from in within? We are part of God. Then it's your choice to carry that with you. And me, as the mother of two boys, I am responsible to lo send the love of everybody and to carry that love about everybody. A mistake is not make the person bad, and the hatred, this is things that we have to transfer to our kids. And when the language of Bible that he was very familiar with would connect with and say, yeah, you're right, the Bible said we are part of God. I did my best. I have four boys too. I have four boys. I did my best to send that love. So this is not we anyone. I said, see, it's not we. We are good. We don't hate each other. We are building that. And I was sharing to my husband, like, my husband said, why are you explaining all this to this guy? Like, he's coming to just spray the wasp and leave. And but when I fill his eyes with the passion of, yes, we are good. Yeah, I did a good try. I did my best for my son, us, but maybe long time from now we're gonna be that good. Never seen the war. But at least, yeah, you're right. That feeling, it was such a huge gift for that day to me, that I didn't stuck with the we and fight about that we. He didn't ask us, Iran needs this, we desire to have that. I could very easily fall into that. That's my background, you know, Mitra, is coming from. So, and I said, why should I so we carry that we to us? And it comes back to it. But again, it was very easy for me to do that because my emotion was not engaged and it was nothing to do with me. But in the work environment, it's very different. It's very hard to switch it that way. And I want to say to Christine, the position that you are in is I totally understand, because I've been in there, and it's not as easy as switching it as I can do with a person like that. But I guess I, when you say we, it brought me the example of what I had just yesterday and how that can carry. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
And if
Lynn.
you can mute me, or I have to find it this
I
way.
can mute you, but I
Good.
can't unmute you. I can mute you. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else? Anything else?
Sure, I'll share. The meditation, when we put out the table of compassion, it was really interesting because people started coming up and, some people said like, oh, I needed this. And then there was a person that goes, I don't need it. And there was another, like it was a guy, and then there was a woman who said, I don't deserve it. And I just felt this energy go out that maybe she'll see, maybe she will see. I don't know that, he's so blinded, that but maybe she will see when others are taking this compassion that she will too. And it was just a beautiful thing because it made me feel good to see the people taking the compassion off the table. And it really, it just says, like you say, just to smile to somebody, and the exchange is so beautiful. And then when we went to the playground, it was really funny because it took me back. You did a similar one, where we went to a playground with other beings. And so that was about a month ago or so, and all of a sudden I go, you're back, you're here. It was like the same people, and they're going, and they're all flying around because they wanted to learn how to fly, and I had was helping them learn how to fly, but realized later that they already knew it. They were just seeing how I was going to interact with them. And then going up to the fifth dimension, I was already just walking on air. And what was beautiful was I realized that I go like trees, they don't even have roots here. You don't see roots going to the ground. And I go like, it's all energy. They're taking the energy in. And so everything around was just the energy of the people and the experiences. And one of the beautiful things is going into the shop and seeing something that you liked, and all of a sudden it released me of that fear of not having the money to pay for it. And so that was a beautiful experience. And then the being that took me to the restaurant, I started to realize, I go, we can go anywhere, can't we? And he goes, yeah, you just got to get out of your head, and he goes, where do you want to go? I said, let's go to the beach. And so he takes me to the ocean,
We
and
were going to a restaurant. Nikki was going to the beach with this guy.
I was going to the beach, and he says, when you get out of your head, he goes, that's the thing with you people in the third dimension. You're always overthinking things too much. And I said, can we go to the moon? He goes, absolutely. And he goes, ah, your fear is showing up. Going to the moon. I'm going like, but I want to go up there. And he says, and I said, I feel safe with you. And so we just started floating up. And all of a sudden I could see the whole earth.
Oh,
And it
wow.
was so beautiful. And then you were starting to bring us back. We didn't quite make it to the moon, but
Sorry
it was enough. I had to come
interrupt.
back. Had to come back. So that was my experience. And those revelations of going, where you worry so much about things like money, is releasing it and letting it go, because that's really where the abundance comes in when you let go. Yeah.
Thank you. Trust Nikki to give it more details and take it further. I knew your imagination will go wild. That's really amazing. But it was also amazing to what you said, that when you put your compassion on the table, there were people who were hesitant. One said, I don't deserve it. One didn't want it. I mean, that is true too in this world. There are people who you smile and they don't want to smile back. And that's okay, as long as you do it without expecting anything back. You know how we hold the door, and if somebody just goes through it and says, No, thank you. It's just like that upsets us. But that when you are lighter in your energy, you do it because you do it because you're planting seeds. You do not need to see the flower or the tree right away, because in the earthly thing, in the third dimensional thing, we want right away. I did this. Why didn't you call me and say thank you what I did for you yesterday? But when we seed is the idea that I'm planting the seed. I mean, I don't stand there and say, where's the tree? It's okay. The tree will come a day that that person feels right and says, you know, like the day I received that smile, maybe I can give it to somebody else. That's how, and I see it honestly in my work. A lot of things I say, and they look like they think I'm crazy. And then, like, years later, months later, weeks later, days later, sometimes I get a text and say, you know, I got it. I didn't understand it. I didn't relate to it. I actually, it made me upset when you said that, but I got it. I now am doing this. So it may come back later. It doesn't need to be the tree shooting out and somebody sending you this beautiful card and thanking you for it. It just, you're planting seeds. Remember that.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you.
Jennifer, do you want to say anything before we say goodbye?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I really enjoyed the meditation. It was great to go to the fifth dimension. And at one point, you said something like, and we're in the restaurant. I go, I'm not in a restaurant. It was like just, I completely forgot that's where we went to begin with. But yeah, it was just really joyful and everything. So I really appreciate that. And I really enjoyed the meditation and I want to listen to it again. And I don't know how to listen to it again once it's recorded. Where do I find it when it's uploaded?
I'll put the link in. I'll have it uploaded because I send the recording, the audio recording, and somebody uploads it. Once it's done, I'll send you the link in the chat. Are you part of the chat? WhatsApp chat?
Yes.
Okay. I'll put it in the chat so that it's a reminder where it is.
Okay, great. Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, it's a good one to follow. All right. If there are no other shares or things to say, maybe we close with a short meditation. Oh, Carlota, you wanted to say something? Go ahead.
I have a little share of practice on the attentionism. It's in the making. I received a message yesterday out of nowhere from somebody who was very meaningful in my life 10 years ago, like 15 years ago, and who I, after certain events, I purposely communicate that I would rather have some distance because there was some confusion in their end and stuff. And they have respect that. And I've got this message yesterday out of nowhere, asking to talk and explain me something that has going on in their life right now that it's important for them. And it was pretty a shock, and I went into my attentionism and said, okay, how do I deal with that? What would be my attentionist way of making the best out of this situation? What would be the choice that would bring the best result for my well-being? Would it be keeping the distance, replying that, because it was very polite, the message, and they were really considering that I won't reply. So it would have been very easy, or it would be more of better option for my well-being to reply. And so I'm just sharing that the practice is really good. I'm really activating it around this. And I've replied that I'm open to see them and hear about what they have to say. And then I've noticed a lot of emotions coming up. And so instead of, and then I was like telling myself where I'm putting my attention. I'm putting the attention on why this person is contacting me, the way they contact me, the way they wrote to me. Or I'm putting the attention on how I'm reacting to their story with me and all what they project or whatever. And so I shift my attention towards me. And that's what I've been doing with the whole situation. Like, oh, look, you're getting stressed. Oh, look, they reply and you got a sense of like not being comfortable. Now, how you can feel comfortable about it? What do you can make for yourself? So it's been great practice. And I'm really looking forward. I've opened up even to meet in person, and I'm gonna surely meet in person. And I'm also taking it towards me again. Like, and I suddenly reframe it as an incredible opportunity for me to actually really go deeper and, if we may say, heal certain uncomfortable feelings that I had and with this relation, and really observe. And I there is one thing that you said once, Mitra, in a conversation we had, that was when you go on a date, it was not because I was dating somebody, but you mentioned that, like, when you go on a date, you're dating yourself. And I love that. So I'm taking this reopen conversation with this person as a way of dating myself, in the way of like meeting myself on how I am showing up and doing the best I can from I am. Yeah. So I just wanted to share this like very personal attentionist practice I'm going through. I'm gonna keep you posted.
It was posted. Yeah, these are like sound like they're small things in life, but they're really indicative of the way we do life. So, I always say the way we do anything is the way we do everything. I really believe that. So, how do I work with a text that I received? Is very similar to the way I deal with something much bigger decisions in life. That I, what you said was basically being reactive and evaluating their reason. You went inside of you and observing your goings on inside of you, which is something that I can actually benefit from. This will feed me, but that will just make me more judgmental. Okay, I figured about you. Somebody told me, a young person actually told me, Mitra, I can figure everybody out. I said, oh, good for you. And then how does that enrich your life? I figured that this person is like, oh, it's like catching them. It's like, I'm a cop, I'm a police officer, I catch everybody. It's like, okay. And she said, yeah, it's a very miserable life I have. I said, okay. So, but I catch them, all the time, or I caught them. Like, I know they're like, they were saying this because they were doing that. It's like, okay. So, and what does the, like, do you get a prize for that? Do you get happy for that? Do you get paid for that? Like, what is the purpose of this catching people? It's like, I catch them. But really, what we need to do is observe us. We are always dating ourselves. In every interaction, we're dating ourselves and getting to know ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper and finding out, oh, that's interesting. I still have some leftover here that I need to maybe clean up. I've got some leftover reaction to that. I've got a bit of ego happening here. No problem, but I just need to be aware of them, because when we're not aware, we act about, remember the acting out and feeling out. Feeling them out is fine. Oh, that's interesting. I got this happening in my heart. But acting them out covers up our opportunity for growth and connection. That's the problem. Oh, thank you. That was a great share. Thank you. An application of this. Well, we see you until next time. In July, I'll see you second week of July, but the last week of July, I will be traveling to another land. But we'll see you the second week of July. Thank you, everyone. Bye bye.
All right, thank you.
Oh, that Carlota, Chris, and Nikki and I are meeting. So if you, oh, stop, right?